Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, who are you really? What are you about? What are we about? Who are we? Why are we here? What are we to be here? Where are we going? Where have we been? What is it all about? The big question is why? Why is everything in our life going the way it goes, and for what purpose, and what do we need from it? So why have we done this for ourselves or to ourselves or with ourselves? So to answer that question, I've asked a guest to return to the show who's been on a number of times before. And I love his information because he's done a lot of research about near-death experiences and interviewed many hundreds of people and has really had a lot of inquiry into these questions to find answers. So let's see what he has to tell us. David Such, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Well, thank you so much, Peter. It's a pleasure to be on the show again. And that's a great question. You know, what are we doing here? Who are we? I remember when I first started studying near-death experiences, and it became pretty clear early on that these lives were not what I had been taught by my religion. So my religion had taught me that this is a pass-fail test. So you have a whole set of rules from God, and if you obey the rules, well, then you get eternal bliss in heaven. And if you screw up, well, they're going to burn you in hell forever. And when I found out that God loves everybody and every soul goes home eventually when they're done, I thought to myself, okay, I've heard about this amazing place, this glorious place that's beauty and love and perfection and peace beyond words. You know, they talk about it like it's the best thing that ever happened to them, these experiences in heaven. They talk about it like it's the all, it's the everything of life is to experience this love that's indescribable in human words. And some of them, when they get to it, they break down in tears, you know, and it's you're in that light and love of heaven, and it changes you forever. But that white light, I mean, there are no words to describe it. So my thought was, what's the point of these lives then? We come down to this planet. And it's exactly. So difficult, and we suffer, and we're in these frail bodies, and we, you know, experience all sorts of emotions and fear and anger and anxiety and all these things. Why can't we just be in the bliss of heaven forever? And it's going to be a long time to figure out why we do this as souls. And it's a choice. It's not a punishment. It's something we apply to do. Because really, if you want to know yourself, to really think about who am I, what am I all about, I can get to know myself really well just by, you know, introspective thought. But really to know myself, I've got to see myself the way everybody else does. And so what God does, and it's a game or a process that our Creator plays to grow, to learn, is he separates a little piece of himself. And it comes down to this human body, and it has amnesia. We forget about, you know, where we came from. And we develop as individuals. We develop a personality, and we have all these experiences. And we experience these things. It is really part of the engine of growth of God. And to experience this love-fear duality, where we dip into fear and we go back to love, that strengthens the love.
Well, then why are we thinking that we're going to come into a time of higher consciousness that won't have as much fear to it? Then it won't be worth coming to Earth anymore if there's such a little amount of fear here. So what's that about?
That's a good question. So in this galaxy, there is only one free will planet. Now, I'm not talking about freedom. Freedom is something different, where you can do anything you want. Free will is when you have the ability to deviate from the divine plan of love, and then you experience what happens when you do that. And when this planet does evolve, we will become an ascended species, and we're on our way to do that. The destruction of Earth that was foretold in Revelation, Nostradamus, Mother Shipton, that was going to happen. But thanks to a lot of help from above, around about 1989, we passed a point. That was a Cuban Missile Crisis where we are not going to destroy ourselves and become an ascended planet. And when you're a free will planet, dipping in the darkness, back to the love, dipping in the fear, back to the love, just back and forth, we have good and bad experiences. The entire galaxy learns from that experience we have. And in turn, that learning of the galaxy helps the universe, and that helps all of creation. So when we do become an ascended planet, our job will be to seed life on another planet, and that will be the free will planet. And then this planet, being a garden paradise, where kind of a utopia where we all live in peace and harmony with each other and with nature, that will be a place where newer souls come. You don't come to Earth when you're just starting out incarnating, you know, just for the same reason you don't send a child who just learned how to walk on a trek up Mount Everest. It's going to kill the child. Earth is for advanced souls. So we will become a calmer, gentler planet where newer souls will come to learn and grow and prepare themselves for the more difficult challenges. So we're always going to have in this galaxy some free will planet that the rest of us are all learning from. So that'd be my short answer on it.
And is there only one, or could there be, you know, we have 100 billion stars in our galaxy and probably many more billions of planets. It's surprising that there's only one. That's it.
We're it. Wow. Just like on Earth, if you were to put all the best scientists and medical personnel and the geniuses of biology together and built one big cancer research lab, you really only need one, because when they come up with a cure for this kind of cancer or that kind of cancer, they share it with the rest of the world. So when we do this dipping into darkness and back into the light, you know, fear, love, the rest of the galaxy learns. It's not necessary for more than one planet to suffer that way.
Oh, that's interesting.
And yeah. So,
when we think about all these other billions of planets in our galaxy, we probably can think happily about them. And many of them are ideal places to live that are advanced consciousness.
Oh, yes. The vast majority of planets, not only in this galaxy, but the universe, are far more advanced, and they're not dealing with all the manifestations of fear that we do here, anger, hatred, war, all that stuff. It's been eliminated. So we are the most difficult in this galaxy to incarnate into, and we're the third most difficult in the universe. So Earth is a tough place. I mean, if you're here, you know, listening to this podcast right now, pat yourself on the back, because you're an advanced soul. And by the difficult lives we experience here, we are part of the engine of growth of creation. And we are also, and this is just a metaphor, we are sort of holding the space or creating the bubble for the love of heaven to exist. And so we're doing a really important job. And one of the things I've heard over and over again from near-death experiencers, and I didn't understand it at first, is that to those on the other side of the veil, we're the courageous ones. They honor us for this difficult work we're doing to help creation.
And I might think that our audience is likely among the good guys. I would assume that they all are. And not only pat themselves on the back for being here, but the more that we stand up for the light, the more heroic it is to live on this planet.
Absolutely, especially in this world where there's so much hatred and division and anger and all the negative things we deal with. It makes the challenge even harder. So when I first started lifting weights, I couldn't do curls with more than a 20-pound dumbbell in each arm. Well, that's no good for me now. That does not stress my muscle. And so I have to, you know, put the weight up higher. Wow. And it's the same with the soul. It is much easier to be loving and kind and compassionate when you're in a perfect environment and life is beautiful and wonderful and there are no problems to face.
And what do you do with yourself when there are no problems?
Exactly. I mean, I have a nice home and it's air conditioned and it's comfortable, and I have a big lazy boy and a big screen TV and all the food that I need and all my necessities. and I can sit in that lazy boy chair and it's very comfortable and very relaxing. But if I want to make my body stronger, I have to leave that comfort of home and I have to go out and run or ride my bike or take a brisk walk or do something. And that's where I grow. You don't have growth without challenge, right?
Right. Exercise is actually stress. And our body then says, oh my gosh, we have to protect ourselves against this kind of stress. We got to get stronger. And that's why the body gets stronger. But then how about our souls getting stronger if we're in most of the universe without this kind of stress that makes us stronger? What do we do? What's the purpose of life outside of this density that makes it worthy of progress?
Well, the progress is in the nature of itself, the environment. So it's just like if I want to get from where I am now to a mile away on foot, I can take a nice leisurely walk, but it's going to take me 25 minutes. Or I can run and I'm going to suffer. And there is no right and wrong with how we want to accomplish our goals. So near-death experiencers have been told, you don't have to go back down there. But the process of growth is a much more, there's no time in heaven, but for the purpose of our conversation, a much more long and drawn out process. And for every 100 souls that are qualified to come to Earth, advanced souls that can handle this harsh environment, there's only a body for one. And so many want to come here because even though these lives are difficult, it is such a huge growth and learning experience. I mean, just leaps and bounds, it's like sprinting a mile. And the nature of growth is that the faster we want to grow, the more difficult it is. The faster you want to change, the more unpleasant the experience is. If I say, Peter, you have a year to build a house. Well, you can do that pretty easily. You're not going to stress. If I said you have 1 month, well, that's a little different. But boy, do you make a lot of progress,
Right.
And so it's the same with these souls. And I have heard that no planet in the history of our galaxy has ever sunk so far into darkness without destroying themselves. And the extraterrestrial beings that are kind of helping and watching over us, about 95% of them are benevolent and 5% are kind of behaving badly. And the 95% keep the 5% in check. But they thought that what the Pleiadians were doing, they're the ones watching over us, they're our galactic parents who seeded life on this planet, was too risky. They said, you're letting them sink too far down. They're going to destroy themselves. And there was a great celebration when we passed that point. Because just like jumping on a trampoline, the further down you go, the higher up you go on the jump. And we are going to spring back into the light now. We just passed this point. We're like the two-year-old child in the sandbox who's misbehaving and just learning not to get in fights with the other children. So we got a long way to go, but we are on our way to becoming an ascended species, and the new world of love is coming.
Yeah, no, I agree with that totally. And, I just always wonder in ideal environments, like in heaven, we love it there and there's a lot going on. It's not just rest, it's really very busy. There are all kinds of teachings and science and discovery and art, invention in many, many ways on the other side. That we usually can't imagine because we're not taught about what other dimensions do. But it's
I have heard that. I have heard about games they play in heaven. So you'll have a bunch of in the level of heaven where you have a light body, they kind of line up and then they do this thing like Red Rover where they run through each other. And as you run through each person, you kind of get a flash of who they are and what they were doing in their life and all that. And then there are entire uninhabited planets where souls go to play. And there are many activities in heaven you can build with your mind. So thoughts are things. So in the level of heaven where it's sort of an in-between Earth and the higher realms, and the higher realms are just a ball of consciousness and energy. But in the lower realms, there's There's streets and buildings and houses and mountains and lakes and trees. And I've heard there are trees that tower way taller than our big redwoods and sequoias. And so you can modify your home with your mind and decorate it.
Right.
Yeah. And so, and then you can study with a master, or, you know, there's groups of souls that are creating new life, new kinds of plant species to seed on a planet.
But I think in the higher dimensions, it's not as detailed like this, you know, in terms of, you know, on the other side, in the arrivals area, there are cities and all kinds of landscape and oceans and all kinds of things that have been created to feel at home. But it's just an early stage. As you go higher and higher in dimensions, I believe that it's even more and more important work, but it's work on a larger scale. So there's all.
Yeah, and it's much like a tree, right? You got a big trunk, and right now we're on the outer leaves. And as the tree grows, you become a branch, and then it gets thicker, and then you become eventually as big as the original trunk was, but that's a lot bigger. So yeah, it's this continuous advancement. And I haven't heard this directly from a near-death experiencer, but in my own meditations and so forth, I had a communication once, and I was thanking my creator, thank you for showing me all this new information and helping me grow and come to a new, happier, more joyful place in life. And I said, well, when do I, you know, am I eventually going to get to the top? And they said, oh, no, there's no top. You never stop learning and growing and developing. It goes on for eternity.
Well, until there's no more duality, because duality is where information is. So when there's no more information, all is one. And then it's just being, let's call it God. And then you have to start all over again.
Yeah. And I've heard that they say when a soul grows to a certain point, eventually they merge back with the creator, and you don't lose your individuality. That's part of the whole you become, but you become one with God and know everything and experience everything. So God experiences everything that every living being, plants, animals, humans, that we do. He experiences with us. What's that, Peter?
I call that the universal computer.
The universal computer. And I've heard that one of the parts of himself experiencing everything through us and everything that's alive, that the part of us he experiences is one of the funnest parts that he enjoys. He really enjoys.
More entertaining, of course.
Yes, yes. And, you know, when you're in the illusion of separateness, that's all it is. It's a game we play. It's an illusion of separateness. That little piece of the creator called Peter or David can actually do things that surprise the creator and that make him smile.
It's
like when your child surprises you.
Right.
And so how fun is it for an all-powerful being that knows everything and knows everything that's going to be happening to be surprised? Yeah. You know, that's a wonderful thing to experience.
Right. That's why we're here, is really to entertain God. And, but in not always good ways. But if you know, the suffering and pain are ridiculously hard. But if you know that after that's over, you're back in bliss and peace, then you deal with it and you just get to, you know, once you get to the other side, you're okay again.
Yeah, and it's kind of like when you have a bad nightmare, you know, you're terrified in this nightmare. And some of the nightmares I've had, I mean, it just feels like it's the end. There's no way out. And then I wake up from the dream and I go, oh, all that fear I experienced, that was all just an illusion. I was always safe and home and protected. And that's us, you know, all this fear, all the things we go through. I mean, I remember through some of the worst parts of my life, you know, I just had no hope. It's the end. This is never going to get better. That's all an illusion. We all wake up someday and we're back home safe and sound in the beauty of paradise.
That's the purpose of a spiritual path, is to understand that. Because when we're in the midst of suffering, there are no answers, because suffering is pain, and pain is pain, and grief is grief. And so what do we do with it? And I think the purpose then is to seek higher answers and And that's where, you know, many people, sudden deaths often push people onto spiritual paths. And then we can find solace knowing that we're greater than the suffering.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of interesting to watch people who have gone through a traumatic experience. I mean, there's a show.
And most of us have, you know, I've had terrible tragedies in my life that, you know, are very, very, very upsetting. And I've been through grief a number of times. And yet, when you know that everything is in divine order, you have to hold it that way. You have to understand that every soul has come here for this job of this dense plane to be challenged in hard ways. And that challenge is what we said earlier in the show, that challenge is what grows us and increases our light in, you know, in tough ways, just like exercising increases our strength in tough ways. And so, you know, grief and tragedy exercise our souls. And it's really important to hold it that way and be able to forgive ourselves for not knowing enough about what the truth of soul journey is, to get caught up in too much. And that's where such hate comes in and rage against anything that we're unhappy about, is that we don't understand the patterns that are needed for us to grow and do better. And we will. One time I had downloaded about the purpose of viruses and they're here to help us grow and evolve. And you say, well, why? They're killing us. Well, they're only killing us when we don't know, when we haven't learned our lessons on how to live with them. And so that's so much of what we're here for, is our souls to grow and learn.
Absolutely. And I've noticed that it is people's greatest sufferings and traumas and challenges that make them who they are. Like Mary Yes. Kay, you know who Mary Kay is, Mary Kay Cosmetics.
Oh.
Back in the 50s or 60s, she had a sales job and was the top salesperson. And the man that she trained below her eventually got promoted to be her boss, who wasn't nearly as good as her. Because, you know, back then there was a lot of sexism. It was the good old boy system. And so what did she do? She started her own cosmetic company and became a billionaire. Oprah Winfrey was neglected and raped and was pregnant at 14 and was suicidal. And out of her tragedy, she became a spokesperson to encourage people and help people overcome tragedy and diversity. And so even our mythical figures like Batman, you know, he sees his parents get killed in front of him when he's a little boy, and he becomes a superhero for justice and defending the innocent. And now it's even been in my life. I went through a lifetime of being bullied. For some reason, I just attracted bullies. People treat me badly. And I recognized that that made me the person I am, always trying to be kind to others, gentle, because I went through that trauma. It gave me the positive attributes of love that I needed to do the job on earth that I'm doing now.
Interesting. I found peace by studying karate. And then I lost my fear. I became, at one point I thought I was invincible. But there was peace in that. It was, you know, because, and you know, certainly in heaven, we are invincible.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just we're pretending that we're not down here. You know, I occasionally get an atheist who says, well, I don't believe in any of that stuff. And I tell him, well, we have a lot in common. We believe the same thing, just reversed. So the atheist believes that we're human beings pretending there's a God. And I believe we're little facets of God pretending to be human. Right. Yeah, and of course, the other thing I have in common with atheists is we both hope that the atheists are wrong.
I think the atheists are just a reaction to organized religion. And
yeah, probably a lot of that. Or I've seen the pain in the world. A lot of people say, well, how could there be so much pain and suffering in the world? How could God let this happen? And the reality is, we're the ones who caused that, you know?
Right, but we are a product of God. And the reason is that we talked about earlier is that God knows better that we're not really harmed and we're being put through this for our soul growth of compassion and love so we can, you know, reach deeper in compassion and love with each other because of the hardship.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it does form strong bonds. Some of the strongest bonds there is between human beings are not husband and wife or brother and sister or best friends or something like that. The very strongest bonds are the soldiers who fought together in a war.
Right.
I mean, those bonds are just the strongest there are.
Wow.
And
yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah, it is a tragedy.
Although sometimes marriages are a wartime also. And, but sometimes the peace is to not stay married anymore rather than fight it out through a whole lifetime. So there are all kinds of ways that we're learning and growing through being here. And it's really fun talking with you about these higher understandings of life that you've developed through your own experience, both researching near-death experiences of people who have so many stories to tell us about life here and there, and then your own inquiries from that. So that's wonderful. So we're really at the end of the show, and it's well, obviously there's always more you and I can talk about, and we will in the future, because I love these discussions about life and our soul journeys. So. Mm-hmm. So Dave, thank you. Where can people find you?
Well, this is my book, God Took My Clothes.
God Took My Clothes. Okay, we're actually on it.
The website is the same. So it's godtookmyclothes.com. And there is a 2-chapter preview of my book if you want to see if it's the kind of book you might like to read. If you speak Spanish, the entire book is available for download. It's not published in Spanish yet, so I can't give away the English version because the publisher owns the rights. But there's a link as well to my spiritual counseling. And I do spiritual counseling for those who have had a spiritual awakening or a near-death experience or out-of-body experience or anything spiritual. And I do have a program for people with financial hardships. So you can just click on the spiritual counseling link at godtookmyclothes.com. And if you just have a few questions at the time of this recording, I am answering all emails. And of course, that's free of charge.
That's great. Dave, thanks so much for being the guest on Energy Stew again.
It was a pleasure being back. Thank you very much, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.